morning. Today's daf is daf Memtes. And we got up to the Mishnah. And we have our favorite introduction to the Mishnah coming right up here. Homnin b'chsut u'b'peirot u'b'chanfei yonah. Now, we talked until now about a number of things which you cannot be tumin in, even Erev Shabbos, because of the fact that it's Mosif Hefel. And included in those, some of those things were always Mosif Hefel. Other things were Mosif Hefel only when they were wet. And yesterday we saw that perhaps only when they were naturally damp would they be oxidizing. And today the Mishnah talks about various things that are not problematic, such as taking your coat, covering over a pot with your coat, or maybe with peirot. Obviously, this doesn't mean peaches, but it could mean with chitim or something that would actually wrap a pot. Ubechan feyona, of all things, use feathers. We'll see in the Gemara that it's one of our favorite references, is kan feyona, instead of just plain knafayim. We want to talk about feathers, dafka from the yona, because of its comparison to Klal Yisrael. Ubenesoret shel charashim, sawdust, ubenaoret shel pishtan daka, and also with something which is very similar to sawdust, which is when you beat out the raw flax, you get this dust-like settling around it, and that's the daka, the naoret shel pishtan, which is daka. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, daka is actually usur, and is mosif hefel, because it has a very large surface area, and therefore it does get warm. Of course, this is the we know that this can get explosively warm. This is common occurrences of exploding explosions, spontaneous explosions from oxidation in places where they have Norish or Pishtan or dock of store grain storage and so on. It's not actually quite dangerous. No, there's spontaneous combustion and things that do oxidize and have a very large surface area, so that sometimes get hot enough and one of them just goes off, reach a certain temperature, boom. They had exploding barns, silos. Reviewed Oser Bedaka. Today we're very mocked on it. Ventilation and fans that cleared out and so on and so forth.
Fertilizer is a
large surface area.
In other words, if you have a very thin nesoret, well, the Gemara is actually going to question whether he's going also on nesoret or only on the oret. But if you have a very thin, little mass, then that means that mostly you've got surface. Right? You don't have anything. That's why birds need to eat so much. Radiating heat over a very small, very large surface with a very small mass. They can't keep their temperature going, speaking of Kanfei Yona. Omer Rabbi Yonai, if all people talk about Yonas, so Rabbi Yonai tells us that Tfilin Tzrichim Guf Naki Ke Elisha Ba'alak Nafayim. Once we're talking about Kanfei Yona, we already saw actually back in Brochot, we had our little story, and if somebody had left, a wallet, wouldn't he go back up? It was Motzei, Yonah Shazav. So here too, there's something unique about the Yonah. And we say that tefillin require you to have a guf naki, we'll see what that means, as great as Elisha Ba'ala Knafayim. Sounds like some kind of malach with some wings on him, but it turns out it's a very human person. First of all, what's the halacha referring to? When you say a guf naki, I mean, that has to have a specific halakhic ramification. So Abaya says, shalo yafiach lehem, someone who cannot control his bodily function sufficiently, that he will not release flatulence when he's wearing his tefillin, should not be wearing tefillin. And he needs to be on that diet. Rava says, I mean, not anybody can do that. The point over here, shalo yishan lehem, needs to be somebody who we know will not accidentally fall asleep in them, in which case he will lose control over certain functions. And Mamela, if he's someone that's likely to just doze off without realizing that he has to take off his tefillin, he shouldn't be wearing tefillin. Actually, Tosa says, of course, Abaye agrees that it's also Lishan Bam. He just holds that you don't have to worry about somebody, maybe once in a yovel will fall asleep with his tefillin, and that's not the way that we would be magdir the din of guf naki. Whereas Rav, on the other hand, holds that it's not necessarily tamei, it's tzrichim guf naki. Just saying, osur lafiach v'hem. I mean, it's not, we're talking about someone who needs to be able to be shamer the darga of his guf. The real problem is that he also has to be shamer hesach hadas. That's the real problem. Tosfos says the issue of shena is not so much the question of losing control of your bodily functions as losing control of your mind. So since you'll have hesach hadas from your tefillin, we learn out that al mitzchot tamid it's a kal v'chomer from the tzitz, that you have to always be aware of your tefillin. Alach es kama v'kama, that one is not allowed to have here hurei avera wearing tefillin. That would be the worst possible thing. So that therefore it became a very difficult thing to wear tefillin. And there was a long period actually in Klal Yisrael's history in which nobody wore tefillin. And there were periods, you could tell from the letters of the Rishonim, periods in which people went around to try to reinstitute tefillin, as people lost belief.
Even their shakir.
At any time. They lost belief in the cleanliness of their minds and of their bodies, and they were afraid to wear tefillin. There are some who even learned that it's a specific iser, Shabbos Yosef brings such a shita, that there was a specific gezerah not to wear tefillin all day long. You just wear it when you absolutely have to, like when you're davening or something like that. In which case, it wouldn't even be right to be machmir to wear tefillin all day. We don't paskin like that. But I mean, the Ad Kedei Kach, there was a hakpada. And so nowadays, we've reached something of a balance in which wear tefillin for b'shas hatfilah of shachris. As I say, kriyat shema, it shouldn't be to me, shekhar alatzma, and so on. But no more than that. Unless he's boteach ba'atzma, then he's not misiyah ba'atzma. It's a difficult thing not to be misiyah.
What's the getter of the field? You mentioned once in the yovel for falling asleep with tefillin. What if he wants in the yovel?
No, that you can't do. No, it's just, that's how we have a concept called the ones shena. But we don't have a concept called the ones yafiach. So, okay, that he's saying that's the minimum. Rava says it's crazy to talk about that.
So if a person wants in the Yobil, has
he can't take his tefillin off in time. Not get a kach affected by stomach trouble. It takes a moment to give his tefillin. I mean, it doesn't even have to be off, it just has to be not tied. And it's enough, he'd be holding his tefillin on his hands. It's still not called wearing it. Now the question is, why would we use this fellow Elisha as a model for how wonderful you have to be with tefillin? Well, amay kar ledal kenafayim shepam achad gazra malchut romi harsha'ar gzera Yisrael shekol aminir tefillin yinakru et mocho. They had a nice mina geneged mina. You want to put tefillin on your head? We'll dig them out of you together with your brain. No, Elisha minicham. Elisha would wear tefillin. V'yotze l'shuk, and he would walk around with his tefillin all the time. Be semech, be okay. Rahu kazdor achad. So a policeman saw him. Ratz mipanav. Elisha starts running. The guy starts chasing him. Ratz achra. Kivan shigetzlo. Natlan mirashon. He's always catching up with him. He takes him off of his head. Vachzan biyado, and he holds him in his hand. So the cop tells him, Mazeh biyadecha, what are you holding there, buddy? Amala, what do you mean, what am I holding? Kanfeyuna. You say, I'm holding what everybody holds, you know, pigeon wings. What else would I be holding? Pashat et yadovnim to kanfeyuna. Sure enough, he opened his hands. This guy figured he's got himself a good brain. And it turns out that all the guy was holding was kanfeyuna. So Tosfos says, obviously, if it was Zohar to be Nasa, Lones, his tefillin, it must be that he was very makpid on Shmiras tefillin. And it's by Sernafish to go out. So this shows that he was really on a darga to wear tefillin, so we use him as the model. You should know that we preserve this maisa every day in our tefillin. Many people do anyway. The reason that we spread the wings of the tefillin and then bend them in the Shorosh, what they were saying. is as a remez to Elisha Baruch and Afayim. Right, so you pull out the ritzua and then you fold it over the way a Yonah does. So it becomes a remez to Elisha Baruch and Afayim.
What would do that for the tefillah shel rosh?
That was his. That's what he did. Called it Yanakos Mocho. So the part that was exposed to it. That
was mostly nefesh tefillah. He didn't have much to do with ufnaki.
Since he was mostly nefesh, it must be that if it was zeichet to be a nesh to be al yodah, if he wasn't shemir as atzmek properly, certainly wouldn't have been zeichet to a nesh. He's doing the wrong thing.
Indirect.
Yeah, indirect. So, Maishra Kanfe Yonah, Mishar Ophot. I mean, why was he talking about Dafka Kanfe Yonah? I mean, that's what triggers this whole thing. Is why is the Mishnah say Kanfe Yonah? I mean, when it say feathers, I mean, it doesn't say feathers. I mean, what's this Kanfe Yonah? So, I would say, okay, where do we find that there's an Indian that we would want to Dafka be Maske Kanfe Yonah? The same thing that Elisha Balak and Avayim did. Dafka spoke about Kanfe Yonah. Mishum da'am til Knesset Yisrael Yonah. That's because the Pasuk actually compares Klal Yisrael to a Yonah specifically in terms of its Knafayim. Says Kanfe Yonah Nechpa Bekesef Vevrotea Birakrak Charutz is Gufa Klal Yisrael. The remez being Ma Yonah Kenafea Meginot Aleaf Yisrael Mitzvot Meginot Aleaf. What precisely this means? First of all, why is it Nimshal specifically like Yonah? That they say Yonah has a homing capacity. And Klal Yisrael has a remarkable homing capacity. They're always their home pigeons, no matter where it is. You send them out in the world, they always, their das always is chayzer, takadosh baruch hu, to bakar mikdash. They send their tefillahs back to Yerushalayim. They're ne'eman l'shleicha, l'shluchav. They don't run away. They come home. Always come home. It's a remarkable thing. The mamish, we recognize pigeons have that unique thing. Atkatei kach, they use them for guiding missiles during the Second World War. It's also another Indian that they're also, yeah, they're very mocked at on monogamy. Yeah. But here the Gemara says it's not quite clear what this means. And Tosis brings a medrash that says that other birds, if they have a problem, then they have to stop flying. The Yonah can continue to fly even on one wing. So it's on a wing and a prayer. So Yonah keeps flying. And Rashi brings that Yonah, as opposed to other birds, actually uses the muscles that move its wings to protect its young. So it fights with the top of its, what would be in a human, an arm. So that's Kenegedi, the tefillin. But in any event, there's some beautiful elements of the young. I mean, they're looked at all over the world. It's a symbol of peace, shlemus, and so on. It must be that people have this subconscious recognition of it. So then Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, B'daka, it's Osir. Now, there were two cases that he might have been referring to. I mean, he might have just been referring to the case immediately before, which was the Oret Shalpishna. But the truth is, if you look at the Mishnah, it's clear that we have two issues, Nesoret Shalcharashim and Oret Shalpishna, both of which can have a very, very fine grain, or it could be not as fine. So was he referring really to both? And he's saying either of these things, when you have too much surface area, you get heating. Or was he only referring to the last case immediately before him? The Ne'oret Shel Pishta. So Iboilu, Rabbi Yehuda and the Ne'oret Shel Charashin Koi. Now this means, of course, Charashin Nami Koi, as the Barasha explains. Certainly he's not only referring to two cases back. He would be referring to both cases where the Mishnah spoke about something very fine. Or was he only referring to an Oret Shel Pishta? So Shema, let's take a look in the Braita. Titanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ne'oret Shel Pishtan Daka Harei Kezeva. Shema Mina, an Oret Shel Pishtan Koi Shema Mina. Since Rabbi Yehuda in the Braita specifies that the only time that you have to be choshesh for oxidation, the way a compost pile would be oxidizing, would be pishtan, that's dak. but not Ne'oret Shacharashim, apparently. It was only referring to the case of the Pishta. Shmamina. Tomnin Bishlachim. You can also do Hatmana in skins, this is raw skins, and you can even move those skins, even though you weren't toming them, because they're not considered to be mukta since they're always usable to lean on. You put them out and use them as beach towels or to keep yourself clean when you're sitting on the ground.
Already finished that all by.
Sorry?
Already finished. And
we'll see. The Gizei Tzemer, the Immetaltalinota. You can also use Gizei Tzemer, but you can't move them. So if you can't move them, what do you do when you want to take the pot out? I mean, Tahatmana means it's covered. It's interesting because Tahatmana doesn't necessarily mean it's covered according to some Shitas. And the Mishnah's assuming, what are you going to do to get the pot out since you covered it with Mutza? I mean, according to those who shown him, all Tahatmana is even if it's not mamish covered. And there's some who learn that even the Tosfos Shita is made of it. If it's robe covered, it's covered. You don't need to cover the pot, the top. Well, unless we're machmir on. So, I mean, the Mishnah shouldn't be making such a big fuss of it. You have to learn that the Mishnah is saying, what about in a case where you did cover it completely, what would you do? But not as if, gee, what are you going to do? Don't cover the top. So Ketzeruah says, so what do you do if the top is covered with mukta? You could pick up the top, and whatever it was that was mukta that's on top of it will fall off to the side. Rashi explains, there's no chashash of the problem of basis davara asur, because the top of a pot is clearly meant for purposes of covering and not for purposes of supporting. So even though there's something on top of it, by no stretch of the imagination could you call it a basis. It's not meant to be basis. They would just pick up the top, and everything else will fall off of the top. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, if you have a kupa, let's say this whole thing, you put a pot in the kupa, and then you cover up the pot, you bend the kupa to the side, so mata al sida, and then you take out the pot. Because I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is that if you take out the pot and you have these, let's say, things that are Gizei Tzemer, I mean, they're gonna fall into the hole. You lift up the pot. You know what happens when you want to put the pot back in? So then you're going to start moving mukta. What you have to do is you move the kupa to the side. Then when you remove the pot, everything is not going to fall into the hole. It's going to fall along one edge of the kupa. And that way you don't have to worry about putting the pot back. Because Shema Yitov in your cholachzia, maybe you'll take it out directly, everything will collapse around the edges, and then what's going to happen?
I can't just leave the box afterwards.
We'll see. The Gemara is going to talk about and. The Chachamim Omrim Notel Umachzir. Now you put it back. Meaning what? Meaning you can look at Chila move it, you can make a hole. What exactly does that mean? Okay, this we'll see in the Gemara. Yosef Rabbi Yonatan ben Achinoi, Rabbi Yonatan ben Elazar, Yosef Rabbi Chanina bar Chama Gabayu, he heard them, Rabbi Chanina bar Chama, they're asking whether the reference in the Mishnah was to Shelachin Shel Ba'ala Bayitna, if a guy has in his house some skins, and there's certainly no intention, he's not in the skin business, he's not going to be selling furs or selling parchment or anything like that. In which case, he's not really mocked. I mean, what's going to happen? You'll take the skin, you put it on the grass, and on the grass, worst comes to worst, it'll get dirty. I mean, what am I going to do with it anyway? But maybe if it belongs to an uman who makes his money out of this, and he wants to sell it, and maybe he's bedavka wants to keep it set aside so no damage comes, doesn't get dirty or anything. So maybe over there would be like yichdalo mokom, and given the kapit alay alomitzatzalinu. Then you wouldn't be able to move it around. Oh, Dilma shel uman tnan. Or maybe the Mishnah is actually referring even to the skins of an uman. And kol shekein shel ba'al habayit is even less makrit. And it's telling us that this is not considered to be something that is miyachid lo makom nischas aleini, and therefore should be mukta mishum chisaron kis. Omar lehu Rabbi Yonatan ben Elazar. Rabbi Yonatan ben Elazar says, well, I would think that it's reasonable, mistaver shal ba'al habayit now, aval shal oman kapir alayhu. I mean, why would this be different than all the other things that we saw that are meant to be used with binyan and something like that? Guy has commercial intentions. Certainly, nobody wants his kids playing around with the things that he's going to end up selling. Obviously not. So then you wouldn't be allowed to move it. So fortunately, Reb Chanina Bar Chama had been standing there when he heard them having this discussion. Now, he had some information that they weren't privy to. So Amar Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama, look, Kach Amar Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, I could tell you that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said over that his father, Rabbi Yossi, happened to be a professional leather worker. He was a shalchahabi, and he would often have skins in the house where his little workroom was off to the side, and he would often tell us, he would tell us when we were kids, bring some skins, let's sit down and have a picnic. So there you go, halacha lemaisa, here's somebody who's in the business. He didn't hesitate from using the skins. So you're saying mistavra, and I'm telling you from practical experience that the mistavra isn't what the reality is.
The question was if an oman is mapid on him. From this is now Raya.
From here you see he's not Makpid, because his father wasn't Oman and wasn't Makpid. You would see that. I mean, what's the point then? Ru'uman gavra rabba kamatzer alayim. What's the point of telling little maisalach? I mean, dad was a leather worker. That's the point he's saying. That hanhoga was something that was mekubal, therefore I'm reporting it because of the Gael Abom. Meisvet. So we ask on this one, the case of Nisarim Shabbal Abayi. Lechor, we have the same issue. The guy has boards that could be used for building purposes or making furniture or whatever. So a guy has boards in his house. Totally no time. You can move those around on Shabbos if you need it for some purpose. But Shaloman in Totally no time. A Oman's boards, in which he's a carpenter and he's going to be selling these or using them for manufacturing, you can't use it on Shabbos just because you decide I want to make some use as a tablecloth or whatever. If you had been meyached them before, that you're going to use them if necessary as tops to put on top of your what do they call those horses? Saw horses, yeah.
Trestles.
Huh? Yeah, trestles in South Africa, you know. you're going to put... No, that's... In America, they call them saw horses. Weird, yeah. Because you put it... It's a horse that holds it while you saw it.
Yeah, they call
it chamorim. Oh, there you go. Same idea. Yeah. I mean, that's because the kind of people around here are more... So they spread the top on it, and then you get a portable table, basically. So if he had in mind to use these boards as tabletops, so then it would be okay. Benkach mitzvah. But we see from here that unless you're miyachid it before Shabbos, then you can't assume that if it's an Oman's thing that it's usable. I don't know, but he means to set it aside. No, you're comparing a case of boards to a case of skins. That's not the same thing. Shining is soaring to carpet alayu. I mean, certainly boards are much easier to ruin, that they'll take offense by getting dirty or getting a scratch or so on, which a skin is. Like, what's the... On the contrary. Of course, nowadays the boards, you want them to be distressed anyway. So it's even better. let's have our boards bedavka looking terrible. Once upon a time, people wore clothing that wasn't supposed to look all worn out with holes in it and so on. And now they bedavka wash it with stones before they make sure it looks terrible. Now it's good, so pay double because it's all worn out of it. Go guess. Okay, so there's a difference between Shlachin and Nisarim. Tashma, so you can bring a raya from this case. Orot Bein Avudim Uvein She'inan Avudim. This is the question that Ramati raised earlier. Whether the skins have already been tanned or whether they haven't been tanned, Mutar L'Tatalan B'Shabbat. In either way, you can use them because you can also spread them out to sit on, even if they're on tanned skin. And therefore, on Shabbos, they're not muktzah. Lo amru avudim, ela le'inyan tum'ah bilvad. Where do we get into the question if there's a difference of avudim when it comes to tum'ah? Or if they had been tanned, so then already has been of a clean. If not, it's considered that it wasn't yet nigma malachto, so it won't be mekabel tum'ah. What's that? No damn mutza. Mutza is a question of the reality, whether it's shimush. Ah, so now, lechore. I mean, you see from here, I mean, since it doesn't make any distinction as to whether it belongs to an Oman, it belongs to a Balabai, it's all the same thing. So my love, lo shnasha Balabai, lo shnasha Oman, in either event, even if the skins are avudim, and he intends to market it and so on, it doesn't matter. It's mutla tatala mishabas. So we have a raya exactly to what we were trying to prove. Says the one, no, not necessarily. I mean, how do you know it's referring to any kind of skin? Maybe it's dafka shel balabai. Avo shel oman, not. Excuse me? You're saying avo shel oman. So what are you saying about an oman? Am I ain't metatala? So then what? Then it doesn't make any sense. What's the bright that's going to tell me? Well, the only time you'll find the difference between avudim and inan avudim is when it comes to inyan tuma. So niyach yadatani lo amro avudim elo inyan tuma bilvad. What do you have to go to that for? You can make the distinction in the very same case that you just brought up. And you should have said, by the way, when do I tell you that it's mutul atatul and b'shabbat? Mamed dvorim amurim, only, of course, I only meant b'shel ba'alabayit, abu b'shel oman lo, even if it's negel ilcha shadas, forget about the other issues. You wouldn't be allowed to be metata shel oman. No, of course, I couldn't say that. Because the b'raisa is coming to tell me the dinim of skins in a home. It's not coming to tell me the halakas of skins and the nafkaminas between homes and professionals. That's not the focus. The focus is on the home. So kula b'bala bayit kamayre kitanoi orot shel b'bala bayit metatalinotam v'shel oman ein metatalinotam. So here the Tanakhava indeed holds that if they were meant for marketing, then ein achinami they would be moved from achos chisaron kis. Rabbi Yosi omer echad ze v'echad ze. So this is the same as Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi reported. It's okay to be mitalta. Hoder yatvi the kabi boilon. Here is a fascinating, fundamental discussion between these very same people who were sitting together. Rabbi Yonatan ben Achinoi, Rabbi Yonatan ben Elazar, and Rabbi Chanina bar Abba. He was standing there. And what they wanted to know was, where do we get this idea of 39 melachot on Shabbat? At last. Haditzan, avot melachot arba'im chaser achat, somewhere in this Masechta, we'll find tamun, a Mishnah, all covered up, a Mishnah that happens to mention that there are 39 melachot on Shabbos. A strange Mishnah to find in Masechta Shabbos. But it's there somewhere or another. You just got to look hard enough. So the question is, why do we pick that number? And of course, I mean, what do you mean, why do we pick that number? I mean, you think the answer to that is rather simple. We pick that number because that's how many malachas there are. I mean, that would be the simple answer, right? But the truth is, this is a very sophisticated question. As Tosis points out, the question is, again, how do you parse things? As you could look at melachot, you could categorize them in many different ways. What we call a told of a melacha could actually be a separate melacha. To give me a clear hagdarav, the distinction between lists of melachot that are almost exactly the same, Zoreh, Borer, Merakit, go tell me what the difference is. Why can't I just have Zoreh and have Borer and Merakit as subcategories of Zoreh and so on and so forth? So you can't accurately give me such a reasonable way of measuring distinctions that you're going to come up on your own with 39. It seems that this is a classic accountant's trick. You know what the bottom line has to be. Now, how are we going to get there? That's the question, right? So, I mean, if that's the case, where does it come from? Like, Vos apis 39 malachas. There's got to be something that gave us that idea, and now we're going to go out and we're going to figure out how we got there. The tznan avot malachot abayim chasrach. So, amalu Rabbi Chanina bar Chama. Look, so Rabbi Chanina bar Chama, the point over here is not that we have a number. It's that we have a model. So it's not that we're looking for a particular number. It's that we're looking keneged avodot ha-mishkan. You're right. If we had sat down and we had organized the number of malachas, we're running out of batteries here. So Mamela, what we have to do is we have to take a look at the different things that were done in the Mishkan at different points. So it's not like we're saying, okay, let's talk about a malacha that consists of separating out usable and non-usable materials. If so, you're right, we'd have one malacha that includes Zohar, Bor, and so on. But the fact is that there were completely different issues that were done in the Mishkan, in different ways, in different stages, for different purposes. And you're right, maybe all in all they end up as different ways of doing something which is very similar. But for that, we give each one a particular name and connect it either to the particular mode in which it's done, the utensil that's used to do it, the object upon which it's performed, and so on and so forth, which becomes important to the malacha later. So, Enochinami, but it's not that we have a magic number in mind. Well, Marlo, Rabbi Yonatan, Rabbi Elazar, no, we have a magic number in mind. Kachom, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi ben Lekunia. Kineged melacha, melachto, melechet shebatorah. Arba'im chaser achat. The point is that there are, now here what's amazing is that the truth is there are 40. So arba'im chaser achat means we're taking one out. That's why we use those words, arba'im chaser achat. So it's when the Torah uses the word melacha, since it appears 40 times in the Torah, it means that there must be 40 variants of malacha. So why don't we have 40? Because one of them is meant to be understood differently than you think. Mm-hmm. Which one? That's the question. And that comes now into the next issue. Boy, Rav Yosef, and of course this would be Rav Yosef's personal interest, when it says, Vayavo habayta lasot melachto. So when Yosef went into that house, was he going in the house to do malacha, or was he going in the house to tippy-toe down there?
To do his business.
To do his business. If it means to do malacha, so then this counts towards malacha. It's a different way of doing malacha. But if it means that he was interested in having his own agenda, then it's just sort of a euphemism on what he intended to do. And we couldn't include it under malacha. So does that count or not? Riminyana hu alo?
Good question.
Omale Abaye, so Abaye didn't understand the question. Abaye said his thing. If you don't, what's your problem? You don't know how many malachas there are? Take out a Sefer Torah. Let's go through the whole Sefer Torah and count. And then we'll know whether it's included or not. And what, are you lazy or something? Milo Omar Rabba Barbachana Rabbi Yochanan Lo Zazu Mishamachi View Sefer Torah Umanum. I mean, either we're talking about what letter is the middle of the Sefer Torah? So there's a question. So, okay, so take out the Sefer Torah, count the letters. What are we sitting over here analyzing things, the abstractions? It's very simple. So what's your question? You can't count the number of malachas it says in the Torah. Now the truth is, it says way more than 40 malachas in the Torah. What's the problem? There's two basic approaches to what the Gemara is doing here. The Rabbeinu Tananah's approach. Rabbeinu Tananah says even though there's way more than 40, the Gemara is only referring to malachas that come together with asiyah, such as la'asot malacha, lo ta'asek o malacha. Malacha is a concept, is not the issue over here. a malacha that defines a type of asiyah is the issue, and on that it says only 40, which is interesting. The Malbim has a different explanation. There's one other thing that he's motzi, and that is it doesn't include HaKadosh Baruch Hu's malacha. La'asot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not that we're looking for malachas of other, and other means malachas that are defined in my separations, even though that's what it's connected, but we want to talk about where an Adam can't do a malach. The Malbim says that La'maisa, if you take a look at the way Rashi learns it over here, that since the Torah says lo ta'ase kol melacha, it means don't do kol melacha. As many times as you'll find a malacha, don't do any of it. Right? Says the Malbim, so what that means is that you can't have a malacha that's self-referential. In other words, obviously, lo ta'aseh kol malacha can't be included in the count of its own count. Don't do all malachas including this malacha. Whoops, you said it again. So does it include that malacha? Oh no, now we've got another one. So you can't include the statement that tells you don't do malachas, connected malachas. So therefore, the Malbim takes out every case in which the word malacha refers to itself. Those are the only cases where it's saying, don't do this malacha, don't do that malacha, then that's not included, because we're looking for a malacha that this would be referring to, not the malacha that it is. So for that you have 40. Okay, it's interesting that there was a lot of playing over what this, what does this include. So these are the kind of gemaras that computers are disastrous for, Some of the early mafarshim, when they first came out with concordances, one of them talks about his son. He says, my son, for his bar mitzvah, I was preparing for his bar mitzvah, he got a hold of one of these newfangled concordances, and he showed me there's more than 40 malachas. So we better explain it. I just actually know the Torah. Fine. So therefore, the Malbim explains it in his way. So therefore, said Rabbi Yosef, you're missing the point. What do you mean, count the number of malachas? I know the number of malachas. I want to know like this. There's 40. There's two possibilities for what the chaser achas is. One chaser achas, which I don't like, as Rabbi Yosef, I feel it's disloyal. One chaser achas would be to say that Yosef actually wasn't going to do malacha. But there's another possibility. Because what I was thinking is like this. What I wanted to know is, since it says, v'hamalacha haita dayan, okay? When you say malacha haita dayan, what do you mean? You could mean that each malacha was done precisely in the amount required. So that if you needed to have X amount of tehillah, they didn't make X plus an additional ounce. That would be a gilui as to the extent at how mukhshav the malachat machshavat was. That's one way of understanding a malacha haita dayan. The other way of understanding a malacha haita dayan is simply that it's saying the job was completed. Malacha in the sense of, in Aramaic, avidita. The project was over. That's all. Malacha doesn't mean over there specific acts that you're making. That's the question. One or the other of these is where the issue is going to be defined as the chaser achas. It's either Yosef or it's the malacha haita dayan. That's my question. Which one is it? I know the number of times it says malacha, for God's sake. So therefore, my shayla is a malacha haita dayan miminyanahu. That we're including. And therefore, by Yosef, it would mean that he didn't really go to do malacha, but rather la sotzrachav, like we say to a little kid, we say, go do your job. And the same thing over here, he's going to do his job.
That's to make something.
Exactly, yeah. There's no malacha. So is that included? In which case, malachi, or maybe by avah baita, lasot malachto means literally lasot malachto. He had a job to do, and he needed to do it by machshavas. And therefore, when it says hi milacha, it's a dayam ochi kama, to show him le'abidata. The job was complete. The project was finished. Maybe that's what it means. Teiku. That we don't have an answer for, but we know it's our boim chosar achat. We just don't know what the chosar achat is. Yeah, but we don't base on it. We need to have it first. Here it would be a reference to Kol Malacha. It makes sense. We have the Gematria by Ela with the Mishkan inside.
Anything else not 38? Take them both out. We know there's 39 to begin with, or otherwise we have two. It could be either one.
Nasty. No, you would do it.
We have Malchus 39.
And also Arboim Chasracha, because it says Arboim Yakenu. Tzadik Amad Yomer Keneged Avodot HaMishkan. Now there's a braita that actually backs up the Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama's statement that the Lamedes Malachas aren't searching for a magic number, they're searching for a mal. The Tanya Ein Chayavin Ela Al Malacha Shekayotzei Ba Haita BaMishkan. So look, if they went ahead, Heim Zor'u Atem Lo Tizra'u, didn't they need to make now dyes? How did they make dyes? Unless they planted them. So they had to plant, you can't plant. Heim Katsru, they went ahead now and they were kotzer, you can't be kotzer. Heim He'alut Akrashim Mikarkala Agala. If they needed to move the Mishkan, part of the Mishkan's Asiyah was to be able to take the Krashim off of the ground and load them onto the large trucks that they had. And those trucks were Rishut HaYachid. So we'll see later on how we measured them. Atem lo tachnisu min Rishut HaRabim l'Rishut HaYachid, which means that you cannot carry from Rishut HaRabim to Rishut HaYachid. Him horidu et haKrashim mi'agala l'karka. They took the Krashim off to rebuild. Atem lo tachnisu min Rishut HaYachid l'Rishut HaRabim. Then you can't do hotza'ah. Hemotziu me'agala la'agala. What's more, when they loaded the agalot, they loaded the ones that were close to the Mishkan, and then moved them back, passed them from one truck to the next, so that they could first load up the trucks that were in back. We'll see later on that these trucks basically took up the entire Rishut HaRabim, so that they were parked in twos. So you had to move the Krashim from the ones that were close to the Mishkan, load the back trucks, and then continue loading on the front ones. Which means that taking from one Agalah to the next Agalah is also Aser. Atem lo totziu mirshut hayachid l'rishut hayachid. What? What? Mirshut hayachid l'rishut hayachid? Oh no! I thought we just got from. No, don't tell me we're going to have to go back to the first parish to get and redo everything now. I thought that was okay. My God, what's he doing? No, of course, it means, since it was Rabbi Ab explained, we mean Rishut HaYachid, Derek Rishut HaRabim. You can't, that we talked about, if it's B'diut HaAchad, it's along the length of the Rishut HaRabim, you can't pass over Rishut HaRabim in order to go from one Rishut HaYachid, to move from one Rishut HaYachid to the next Rishut HaYachid.
Isn't this all one thing?
No, because there was distance between them, remember?
No, I'm saying, isn't that one?
This is a big issue we'll discuss later on, why we need to mention separately. That's a whole machlokas that we look at. It's on the first stop, basically. Achnas and Hotza is Echadu. So if it's Echad, why do we have this problem? What do you mean if it's Echad? Then why do we need two separate riyas? That's the whole Taisus that goes into the issue of Malacha being Malacha Geruah, that we need a raya from a pasuk that it's included. Maybe only after it's included, we could say that the Av has two different surahs, but that they're both considered to be the Av. This runs into, not surprisingly, since it's clearly the central issue of the Masechta, but not surprisingly, the question on how to really strictly define Av and Tolda revolves around Otsar and Achnas, or what else? B'gizei tzemer vein metaltelin. Omar Rava. Is it too late? Should we leave this for tomorrow? It's okay? I lost track because I have a few. Usually I know how long this is going on. I'm saying I lose track. I lost track of that. Shall we continue, or are we going to...
Sure,
oh, okay. Let's have it loud there.
I said let's...
There's only one person who's shouting.
We need an hour.
We had an hour. We're supposed to do this in 45 minutes. Omar Rava lo shanam lo shalot tamman bam. When does the Mishnah say you can't move those gizei tzemer? Only if you hadn't used it for atzmana? Obviously, if you're already using it for Atmana, then you meant to use it for Shabbat. So then why is it considered to be Muktzah? In which case we'd have to read the Mishnah as being separate clauses. In the event, in other words, first of all, Tomim Bam. Second of all, in the event that you weren't Tomim Bam, so then even Tomim Bam. But certainly not referring to the same case. There was one guy that had just that day arrived for his first day in kindergarten in the yeshiva, and he heard this being quoted, and he said, what's with these guys? Look at the Mishnah. You can't read that into the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Begizei Tzemer Vein Metadilam, Ketzad Uro says, so what are you supposed to do? What do you mean, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do with what? What are you supposed to do if you use gizei tzemer on top of your pot? What's the problem? According to what Rava just said, since you used it for atman, it's not muktzah. So what do you mean, what do? You pick it up, of course. Yeah. So how can you say that the Mishnah is talking about two separate clauses? Maybe I should find myself another kindergarten. So ketzaduo said, no telataki sui vei no float. Uh-oh. Must be that it was a misquote. Actually, Rava never would have said something like that. What Rava actually said was, Omar Rava, lo shanra la shalo yichdan lahatmana. Separate issue. If you had been miyache, these gizei tzemer, for hatmana forever, and this became now your hatmana piece. You know, they sell today that little thing you cover your platter with, that... Even though you're being over on Hatmana, but it says Shabbos on it, so it must be okay. You know? So if you're minyake these things for Hatmana, so then lachar, there would be no problem of muktzah. But if you use it one time, I mean, like we said before, you're certainly not going to throw out your kupa shalmochin just because you ran out of tevin. And that's what Rava was talking about. Yichdan Hatmana, then mitato linotan. This is only if it wasn't set aside for permanent use for Atmana. Ava yichdan la'atmana, then metato vinotan. It's a riot. Well, if you wanted something different, we can continue. Ravina Amar. Ravina says, actually, what Rava was saying was exactly what we understood originally. It's talking about you used it for Hatmana, and that's the equivalent of being Miyachid for Hatmana. Rava was not referring to our Mishnah, because our Mishnah was not talking about something which is just Stam, Gizei Tzemer, which you could say, since you used it for Hatmana, obviously it was going to be used for Hatmana. Our Mishnah was talking about the Shel Heptek Shanu. Our Mishnah was talking about a display of merchandise in which you have all types of things set out at the fair. Obviously, you are not going to ruin the display because you want to keep this for your chowin pot. So the fact that you used it for your chowin pot doesn't mean now that it's going to be used for Ratmana. As soon as Shabbos is over, you're going to run back out and put it back in the window display. So that's where it's asking. So what do you do? In that case, if you were using Shel Heptek, what were you going to do now with it? If it's on your chalon pot and the Shabbos is certainly still muktzah because you took it off of the window display. And there it's coming to say, okay, this is what you do. There's no contradiction to Rava. What makes you think Rava was referring to the Mishnah? Rava's just saying, Stam, you should know that someone who uses Gizei Tzemer for Hatmana, the assumption is that he essentially was miyachid at Hatmana.
What is the deal?
Mishnah. Tonim b'ksud, b'peirot, b'chanfei yona, b'nisorot shel charashim, b'na'oret shel pishtan daka. Rav Yehuda oser b'daka, u'matir b'gasa. Om Rav Yanai, tefillin tzirchim guf daki ke'elisha ba'al kenafayim. Mayim. Abai amar shelo yafiach behem, rava amar shelo yishan behem. B'mai kore le'ba'al kenafayim. שפעם אחת גזרה מלכות רומי הרשעה גזרה על ישראל שכל המניח תפילין ינחלו את מלכות והיה אלישע מניחם ויוצא לשוק ראו כסדור אחר רץ מפניו ורץ אחריו ונרם כמעט שיגיע אצלו נפלה מראשו וחזן לידו אמר לו, היי דוד, מה זה בידך? אמר לו, כנפי יונה, of course פשט את ידו ונמצא כנפי יונה לפיכך קוראים אותו אלישע בעל כנפיים ומיישנה כנפי יונה משאר הופעות משום דאמתי על כנסת ישראל ליונה שנאמר כנפי יונה נכתה בכסף מה יונה כנפי המגינות עליה עד ישראל מצפות מגינות עליהן נסורת של חרשים דקה יבוא אלו רבי יהודה הנסורת של חרשים כוי או נאורת של פשטן אולי כוי תרשמה בטעני רבי יהודה אומר נאורת של פשטן דקה, הרי כזה אבל שמע מינה, הנאורת של פשטן עודי קרי, שמע מינה. תונים בשלחין ומתעצבין אותם, בגזי צמר ואין מתעצבין אותם, זהו, אם סור כתד הוא עושה, נוטה אותה כיסוי ואין נופלות. רב אלעזר בן עזריה אומר, if you got a kupa, you better be מטה על צידה, and only then not, because שם יהיה טוב ואני יכול להחזיר. וחכמים אומרים, there's no problem, נוטה לא מחזיר. יוטי וביונתן בן אחינוי, וביונתן בן אלעזר, ויוטי וביחנינא בר חמא גבאיו, וכמי בו אלו שלוחים של בעל הבית נא, אבל של אומן, כיוון לקופל עליו לא מתת מננו, או דיומה איבן של אומן תנן, וכל שכן של בעל הבית. אמר לו רבי יונתן בן אלעזר, מסתבר של בעל הבית נא, אבל של אומן קופל עליו. אמר לו רבי חנינא בר חמא כך אמר רבי שמעון רבי יוסי אבא שלח אהבה והוא היה אומר אביו שלחים ונשיב אליהם מאיפה נסורם של בעל הבית מתעתלין אותם ושלומן אין מתעתלין אותם ואם חישב לתת עליהם פת לאורחים בין כך ובין כך מתעתלין אוקיי, that's נסורם שאני נסורם דקופר עליהם תשמע, אורות בין עבודים בין שאין עבודים מותר לתעתלן בשבת לא אמרו עבודים אלא לעניין תומה בלבד. Now, I would assume that my love לא שנה של בעל הבית ולא שנה של אומן. No, של בעל הבית, אבל של אומן מה? אין מתעתלין. היא רק יודעת אותה לי, לא אמרו עבודים אלא לעניין תומה לפלבנו לפני בדידה. במה דברים אמרים בשל בעל הבית? אבל בשל אומן לא. No, 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 you missed the point. כולה בבעל הבית כמיירי. קטנוי. אורות של בעל הבית מתעתלין אותן ושל אומן אין מתעתלין אותם. רבי יוסי אומר, איך את זה ואיך את זה, מתעתלין אותם. הוד הגעתי בכמי בועל. הוד הצנן, אבות מלאכות 40 חסר אחת. כנגד מי? אומר לו רבי חנינא בר חמא, כנגד עבודות המשכן. אמר לו רבי יהודה ברב אלעזר, כך אמר רבי שמעון ברבי יוסי בן אבוניה, כנגד מלאכה מלאכתו ומלאכת שבתורה, which equals 40 חסר אחת. בואי רבי יוסי, well, ויבוא הביתה לעשות מלאכתו. ממניינה הוא או לא? אמר לי אביי, אבל הייתי ספר תורה ולימי. מי לא אמר רבא ברבא חנן רבי יוחנן, לא זזו משם עד שהביאו ספר תורה ומנעו. אמר לי, כי כמספק לי משום דכתיב המלאכה הייתה דיים. I want to know, is that ממניינה הוא? In which case, הוד כמד יאמר לעשות צרכיו, נכנס ביוסף, אדומה ויבוא הביתה לעשות מלאכתו means literally, in which case it's ממניינה. And the one we exclude is Malachai Tadayam Hachikama Sholim Mayabidata Tegel Tanya Kaman Yom HaKeneged Avedis HaMishkan Tanya In Chayavim Ela Al Malacha Shechayot Seba Hayta BaMishkan Hem Zaru Atem Lo Tizru Hem Katzru Atem Lo Tikzru Hem Ealu Ot HaKrashim Mikarka Lagala Atem Lo Tachnisu HaKrashim Mikarka Lagala Atem Oops. אתם לא תכניסו משדורה בין לשלחת. הם הורידו את הקרשים מהגלה לקרקע, אתם לא תוציאו משדורה לשדורה בין. הם הוציאו מהגלה להגלה, אתם לא תוציאו משדורה לשדורה יחיד. מה? משדורה יחיד לשדורה יחיד? מה קובעים? הבאי ברבה מתבר ויתם ברבה לברבה. מינים, משדורה יחיד, דרך לשדורה בין. Begizik zem revein metatavin amar rava lo shono la shalot taman and rava taman ben of course metatavin utam eitz ve'ahu mirabonu bar yume la rava tomnim begizik zem ein metatavim utam. So far it's fine, what do you do in the next piece? Kate said, who is that? It's obviously all one case. No telotak yisule, no flood. Ela yitmar, hach yitmar. Omar rabba lo shanu ala shalo yichdan matmana. Ava yichdan matmana. Metadom inotam. Yitmar nami, kias rabin om rab Yaakov om rabasi. Om rabasi ben shol, om rabbi lo shanu ala shalo yichdan matmana. Ava yichdan matmana metadom inotam. Ravina says, stick to the original meaning in Rava. And the Mishnah is one thing, which is B'shel Heptek Shanu. And Rava is referring to a different case.